إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أمراض القلوب واللسان كاملة. My dear brothers and sisters, we're talking about the evil actions of the hearts and the evil actions of the tongues and anything that may lead to that. Today, inshallah, we'll be talking about a new disease. We have spoken about greed and we have spoken about envy. Today we'll talk about a disease that is so common and so dangerous, and many people belittle that disease, men and women. This disease is somehow pardoned for women, which is not really. It's not supposed to be like that, and focused on men, as we will see, inshallah. This disease we call looking, gazing, lurking, opposite sex. Men looking at women and women looking at men. Lowering your gaze is the solution. We'll be talking about غض البصر. غض البصر. يقول الله سبحانه وتعالى قل إنما حرم ربي الفواحش ما ظهر منها وما بطن والإثم والبغي بغير الحق وأن تشركوا بالله ما لم ينزل به سلطانا وأن تقولوا على الله ما لا تعلمون. These are the prohibitions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala detailed for us here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden any indecency, the apparent of it and the one that is within your heart. Sins prohibited of all kinds, wrongful oppression prohibited, to associate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala partners or anything that He did not give you a warrant for, and to tell concerning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that which He or which you do not know, meaning to say something about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to give Him a name or an attribute or anything that He did not tell you about. Because the rule is, we don't know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us something. All we know, it is a revelation. If we affirm any quality to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or negate any quality, it is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about that. So to say something about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala you don't know, this is a disaster. Our focus here is for indecency. يقول عبد الله بن مسعود رضي الله عنه. عبد الله بن مسعود, one of the great companions who memorized 70 surahs from the mouth of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, literally just directly from his mouth. And we have how many surahs? 114. So more than half the Mus'haf was memorized directly from the mouth of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that is a virtue by itself, and what a virtue. And he said, if I know somebody who knows about the meaning of the Quran more than me, I would have traveled for him as far as the camels or the animal can take me. Now, is this arrogance? No. This is reality. He's telling you that I know the meaning of the Quran, and I am too humble. If I know someone knows more than me or has something that I don't have, I will go for him as far as I can go, or as far as my animal can take me. Similar to who? Similar to Prophet Musa alayhi salam, when he gave a sermon for the Israelites, It was such an eloquent, it was such an outstanding speech to the point that some of them came to him and they said, MashaAllah, does anyone know as much as you do in this world? Musa alayhi salam said, no. Now, not out of arrogance, and the proof to that is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, yes, there is. And he told him about Al-Khadr. What did Musa alayhi salam do? قال لا أبرح حتى أبلغ مجمع البحرين أو أمضي حكما. I will not rest, I will not relax until I get to where the two seas meet, even if I have to walk forever. What for? To go learn from Al-Khadr for the knowledge that he doesn't have. And the proof to that is قال هل أتبعك على أن تعلمني مما علمت منه رشدا. Shall I attend you or follow you or be your companion so you can teach me from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have taught you? So here we have Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu saying the same thing. Look what he said. He said, قال صلى الله عليه وسلم لا أحد أغير من الله سبحانه وتعالى. من أجل ذلك حرم الفواحش ما ظهر منها وما بطن. There is no one more jealous than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we need to stop on the word jealous and understand it properly. This is the only word that I can get in English for the Arabic word ghira. Here, you understand that when we attribute something to Allah that we can understand about ourselves, know for a fact, it's not that. It's not what we know. It's not the jealousy that me and you know, where you get angry and you get upset and you want to do something. It's not that. And we will find that from the explanation of the scholars. Al-ghira al-man', asluha al-man'. The essence of ghira, the meaning of it is to prohibit something or to stop something. الرجل غيور على أهله أن يمنعهم من التعلق بأجنبي بالنظر أو حديث أو غيره. If a person has the ghira for his family or for his daughter or for his sister, he prohibits them from attaching themselves or looking at a strange person, strange man, by either talking or by looking or anything else. We call this person غيور. Is this a good quality? Indeed it is. The person who doesn't have that quality, he is dayuth. Al-diyatha aks al-ghira. قال الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يدخل الجنة dayuth. No one who has that quality, the opposite of ghira or jealousy, will enter the Jannah before getting punished. The companions did not know. وَمَا الدَّيُّوثِ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Who is a dayuth? A new word to us. قال الَّذِي لَا يَغَارُ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ. The person who doesn't have jealousy for his family, referring to women, wife, daughter, sister, mother, aunt, from those things that the person normally get jealous. He doesn't like his wife to sit where men are. Like some of us, they sit in the same room talking and joking and everything under the pretext that we're all family. We raised up together. I know him or I know her when I was 6 or 7. That does not make it halal. We need to understand the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the prohibitions and the things that he allowed us and the things that he did not allow us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ghayur. We will see some more of that inshallah when we talk about the companions, when some incident happened between one of the companions and his wife. But the point is, the things that we do where people mix together, especially relatives, the worst kind of mixing is relatives, worse than strangers. Because relatives, they can joke and they can let little things slide and you won't think bad, and you can do many things and people will accept it and let it go. If someone jokes, if some of your relatives jokes with your wife or with your daughter, with your sister, you would not take it as bad as a stranger. You say, what? Why did you say that? Or why did he do this? Or why did he look? Or what? Because he's a stranger. For a normal person, a relative of yours, you would not think about that. And that's where the major disaster is. When Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded us to not mix, one of the women said, Ya Rasulallah, أرأيت الحم? He said, إياكم والدخول على النساء. Be aware of entering the houses of women, meaning when there is no husband or no brother or father as such. So some of them said, أرأيت الحم? One woman said, what about the relatives of my husband, like his brother, for instance? He said, Alhamu al-maut. He said, this kind of relative that you're talking about is like death. More dangerous than the strangers. Why? Because you see someone going to his brother's house, whether he is not or he is, whether he is there or he's not, nobody's going to suspect anything bad. And wallahi, brothers, you may belittle that, but recently I heard a story. One woman pregnant from her husband's brother. This is a recent story, a real story. And that is, the mother found out. It's a long story, I don't want to talk about it, but it's a real thing. And in Islam, one incident is too many. Islam sets the rules to cut the problems from the root. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made looking, simply looking, haram, as we will see in the guidelines that we will be talking about. So, no one more jealous than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He prohibited anything that deals with indecency because He doesn't like it. We are jealous, we don't like it, but all the anger that is associated with that ghira is something that we don't attribute to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it prohibited. There is no doubt, brothers and sisters, that zina, fornication or adultery, is the worst indecent act that a person can do. It ruins families. It ruins the honor of the family. It mixes the kinship, relatives, relations, everybody is mixed. You don't know who is who and who is the father and who is the son and where this come from. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا. He did not say, وَلَا تَزْنُوا وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا. Do not get near committing fornication or adultery. He did not say, do not commit it. Do not get near it. Because no one just comes like that and commits it. There has to be some steps to be followed before that happens. And shaitan knows exactly how to make us follow those steps. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, don't get near it. Al-Miqdad ibn al-Aswad radiyallahu anhu yaqul, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ma taquluna fi zina? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting with the companions, and he asked the companions, what do you say about zina? Question, just to, for the purpose of education and for the purpose of finding out. Sometimes I may ask you a question to see what level of knowledge you have. I can affirm that answer or I can negate it and guide you to the right one. Companion said, هو حرام حرمه الله عز وجل ورسوله فهو حرام إلى يوم القيامة. They said, it is prohibited. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger made it prohibited until the Day of Judgment. Did Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam say anything? No. So this is like a hadith from the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam by affirmation. He affirmed what the companions have answered, And this is one of the meanings of the hadith. When we talk about the hadith, what is the definition of the hadith? It's either a saying of the Prophet ﷺ, an action of the Prophet ﷺ, or an affirmation. This is an affirmation kind. Believers, المؤمنون أصحاب النفوس السوية والفطرة السليمة يعافون هذا الأمر ويبتعدون عن الزنا. When we talk about people who are right-minded, people who are reasonable, people who are born and the fitra, the original creation, the natural state that they are born with has not been contaminated, they would not like that act and they would not recommend it in any way. I'm saying without even prohibition from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, naturally. Abu Umama radiallahu anhu yaqul, فَتَنْ شَابًا أَتَى النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. A young man came to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. And this man in the age of puberty. A young man who has so much need for women. He came to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. A man who fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the companions. Yet he has a need and he wants to get it in an acceptable way. He knows it is prohibited. Look at the question. يقول أقبل على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال يا رسول الله إذن لي بالزنا. شوفوا كلمة إذن لي دليل على أنه يعرف أنه حرام. فأتى ليكون هذا استثناء من هذا المحرم بالنسبة له. He came and he said, O Prophet of Allah, permit me or allow me to commit fornication. This is an understanding that he knows it is haram, but he's coming for permission. Look at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how he dealt with him, and how we should deal with the ignorant person, or with the person who's coming for a question, or with the person whom we think that he is not shy, or some people in Arabic, they say this is waqaha or qillat adab. Like a person that does not have any manners to come, how could you come and you ask the sheikh this question, or you ask? There is nothing prohibited when it comes to seeking knowledge. Not men, not women. There are so many evidences with the Prophet ﷺ from men and women seeking knowledge. If you shy, you will never get the knowledge. So he came and he said, O Prophet of Allah, allow me to commit zina. أقبل عليه القوم وزجروا. All the companions came into him and said, shh, don't talk, you know, probably even harsher than this. And they wanted to shut him up. Look at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said to the young man, he said, Udno, get closer to me. He told the companions, leave him, similar to the person who was urinating in the masjid. Companions went after him. Prophet ﷺ said, leave him, let him finish. Then we can talk. Because if you do now, you'll have more evil going all over the masjid. And then he directed him, because he was ignorant. He's coming from the desert. And the masjid of the Prophet ﷺ was on the sand, covered but dirt and sand. So to him, what's the big deal between this area and the area where he goes to the bathroom outside? He doesn't know the rules of the masjid. He doesn't know the sanctity of the masjid. So he is ignorant. Prophet Muhammad ﷺ dealt with him based on that. He directed the companions, because more evil is going to happen. At the same time, you don't deal with the ignorant person like the person who is not ignorant. So قال أدنو مني. He got closer and then he told him, sit. قال أتحبه لأمك. He asked a young man, he said, do you like that for your mother? Meaning, do you like someone else to commit zina with your mother? قال الرجل والله لا والله جعلنا الله في ذلك. He said, oh, by Allah, no, I don't like that. So the Prophet ﷺ said, والناس لا يحبونه لأمهاتهم. And people don't like that to happen to their mothers. Then he went, أتحبه لأخت لابنتك. Do you like it for your daughter? He said, no. He said, people don't like it for his daughters. Do you like it for your sister? No. People don't like it for the sisters. Do you like it for your aunt? People don't like it for their aunts. So what's left in women? All women, they're either mothers, daughters, sisters, or aunts. Every one of them don't like it. So how can I allow you to do something for people? You're going to have to sleep with one of those women. And if I do that, then other people don't like it, because you yourself don't like a stranger to come and do that to your mother, to your daughter, to your sister, or to your aunt. So he gave him the idea. He directed him indirectly. And at the same time, on top of that, he made a nice dua for him. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَضَعَ يَدَهُ عَلَيْهِ. He put his hand on him, and he said, اللهم اغفر ذنبه وطهر قلبه وحصن فرجه. O Allah, forgive his sins, purify his heart, and chaste his privates. يقول فلم يكن بعد ذلك الفتى يلتفت إلى شيء من ذلك. After that, this young man, he never looked and cared for anything like that. After this beautiful dua. So, brothers, any person who upholds the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of them. And any person or any country who neglects the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have no idea what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to inflict him with. And the proof to that, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, reported by Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, يقول ما ظهر في قوم الزنا والربا إلا أحلوا بأنفسهم عقاب من الله سبحانه وتعالى. No country or nation that they allow riba, usury or interest, and zina, fornication, adultery, but they have asked for a punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what he told you. Now this punishment can be here and in the hereafter. Here in the hereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَدْعُونَ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَهًا آخَرَ وَلَا يَقْتُلُونَ النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ وَلَا يَزْنُونَ. Three things. Don't associate partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't kill other people. That's the right of other people. And do not commit adultery or fornication. This is relation to A'raf. Some of the scholars, they said, these are ummahat al-ma'asi. These are the mothers of all disobedience. All disobedience stems from that. These are the biggest. When it comes to rights of Muslim upon the Muslim, his wealth and his blood and such, the highest, killing him. When it comes to the rights of your brother, when it comes to their honor, to their dignity and such, looking and talking and all that, the highest is fornication. When it comes to disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the highest is associating partners with him subhanahu wa ta'ala. So those people who don't do those, وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَلِكْ يَلْقَ أَثَامًا. Now those are the qualities of the ibadullah. They don't associate partners, they don't kill, they don't commit zina. Anyone who does, he will face penalty, punishment, the day of judgment. يُضَاعَفْ لَهُ الْعَذَابِ. The punishment will be multiplied for him the day of judgment. So if you allow zina, the result is punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the day of judgment. In this world, look what Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu said. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ya ma'ashara al-muhajirin, khamsun in ibtulitum bihin, wa a'udhu billah an tudrikuhun. Wahadi minhum, lam tazhar al-fahisha fi qawmin qat hatta yu'linu biha إلا فشى فيهم الطاعون والأوجاع التي لم تكن في أسلافهم الذين مضوا. He said, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to the companions from the Muhajirin, those who migrated with him from Mecca to Medina. He said, five things if you are tried with, and I seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make you live until you witness them. And one of them, he said, indecency will not manifest in a nation or in people to the point that they make it public. They publicize it, or no one would enjoin good and forbid evil, or it will become something common, but ta'un, plague, and all kinds of diseases will infest them. And here what you can see, especially the AIDS and all the sexual diseases, it is there. And what kind of diseases, he said, التي لم تكن في أسلافهم من قبل, diseases that their ancestors never heard of or never been inflicted with. This is because of what? Because making zina public, allowing it, and it becomes something normal, what's the big deal? That's what happened, and we are living in that. So basically, the war that we are having, let it be the war on terrorism, let it be the war on any kind of a problem, the floods that we are having, the earthquakes, the volcanoes, the diseases, the permanent diseases and such, it is all because of this disease that has been so widespread and every way very common in every place. And because of that, brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made barriers to prevent that disease from happening, zina. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put guidelines where you don't get it. It is right over there. You know how they do these days, what they want, there is an embassy or something like that, they want to prevent harm to the people in there. They put checkpoints, and they do many deterrents, and they do many things to the point that it's almost impossible to get to that before you get caught. The same thing with this disease. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us so many things. Look what he said, subhanahu wa ta'ala. قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ ذَلِكَ أَزْكَى لَهُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا يَصْنَعُونَ. If you look at this small ayah, يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ يَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ أَزْكَى لَهُمْ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا يَصْنَعُونَ. Let's see what we can benefit from that. الغض, غض البصر معناه, what is the meaning of lowering your gaze? It is to close the eyelid, the top one, to bring it down on the bottom one. Like you're looking like this, you go like this. You still see, but it's not directly. It's down where I don't see you anymore. يعني إطباق الجفن على العين بحيث هذه طريقة يمنع الرؤية, أي رؤية الشيء الذي تنظر إليه وليس الرؤية عامة. It prevents you from seeing the thing that you want to see, but doesn't prevent you from seeing at all, totally. Or مجرد صرف النظر, غض البصر, lowering your gaze. It's either lowering your upper lid on the bottom one where you don't see, or simply turning your whole head. You turn away from the thing. Both of them understood as lowering your gaze. Ibn Baz rahimahullah yaqul, وما ذاك إلا لعظم فاحشة الزنا وما يترتب عليها من الفساد الكبير بين المسلمين لأن إطلاق البصر من وسائل مرض القلب ووقوع الفاحشة. So what is the relationship between evils of the hearts and the tongue to lowering your gaze? It sounds like I drifted from the topic that we are doing. It's not. Listen to Ibn Baz. يقول, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us to lower our gaze because of the evil that will be associated with not doing that, and because letting your vision or your eyesight just go and look at anything, it is a mean for a major disease of the heart. and falling into the indecency. So you have a disease in the heart. We call it what? Marad al-shahwa. Marad al-shahwa, the lust or the whim. This is in the heart. It resides in the heart. What stimulates it? Looking. And that is why you lower your gaze. السيوطي الإمام السيوطي رحمه الله يقول في الآية تحريم نظر النساء إلى عورات الرجال وتحريم كشف العورة. السيوطي رحمه الله said it means this ayah for women to look at men and men to look at women and prohibition of revealing your عورة. What's the عورة of a man? Navel to knees. Prohibited to reveal that. What's the عورة for a woman? All her body except hands and face. So, lower your gaze means you don't look and you don't reveal. Not only you don't look, you don't look at others and you don't reveal your aura to others. And this is for men and women. Anytime you have a command for men, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, you have a command for women too. Anytime you have a command for women, not necessarily it is for men. Now, if I address you here, Ya ayyatuha al-mu'minat, everybody will go, why you're addressing us like women? But women are listening. And I say, Ya ayyuha al-ladhina amanu, you don't hear women saying, why are you addressing men only? Because it is natural. Whenever you address men, women are included. But whenever you address women, men are not included. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he said, "Ya ayyatuha al-mu'minat anfiqna aw ayyatuha an-nisa anfiqna min huliyikun aw tasaddaqna min huliyikun." Spend from your huli. What is huli? Gold. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's messenger addressed them to give charity from their gold. This is for women only. Why? Because we don't wear gold. Men don't wear. This is something special for women. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's messenger addressed women. So here, it includes women. In fact, it is more important for women to lower their gaze too. Even though it is included, the next ayah, وَكُلِّ الْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغْضُضْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنْ. He repeated, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He made a direct command to women alone, even though they are falling into the command of men. So basically it's like saying twice to women, lower your gaze. Why? Because naturally, we all don't see that it's a big deal if a woman looks at a man. All of us. Right? You guys don't think so? It's not a big deal to see women lined up and watching people play or talk or anything. It's not a big deal, even though there is big evil in it too. But when you see men watching women, automatically you think bad. No exceptions. You cannot say just watching women playing basketball and you go, mashallah, he's enjoying the style of this woman or how she shoots or... If you say that, we laugh at the guy, because it doesn't happen. If it does happen, it's part of your goal, and that is something. That's why Allah subhanahu this is similar to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, "Do not enter on women when they are alone, especially relatives." Here. Why? Because people don't think much of it. The same thing, people don't think much of women watching men. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repeated it twice. He included with the first command, and he made it a special command by itself to the sisters, so the sisters would know that it is not allowed for them to do that, to watch men and just make it free, look just like no big deal. And believe it or not, women criticize men a lot more than men criticize women. Now, it is true that their looks are not as dirty as men. We know that. But their investigations of men 10 times the investigation of a man. A man may look at one thing. A woman looks at 10 things. And this is something that really when you find out about it, and when you look at those ayat, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repeated for women, it is amazing. And also women like to hear talking. They like to listen to one another. What this woman, her husband did and what she did and all that, in a form of bragging. That's why Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam prohibited that for women or for men to talk about their relationship at home. And he said, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, this is like two shaitan, a female and a male shaitan, sleeping together in the street in front of everyone. When you go out and you say things about your relationship, intimate relationship with your husband, or vice versa. And all of those things because it is taken for granted, that's no big deal about it, and Allah knows how much evil comes from that. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah yaqul, لما كان غض البصر أصلا لحفظ الفروج بدأ بذكره فإن غض العبد بصره غض القلب شهوته لأن العين مرآة القلب. The eye is the mirror of the heart. If you lower your gaze, Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah said, lowering your gaze, Prophet Muhammad, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala start with it first. He said, lower your gaze and chaste your privates. He did not say chaste your privates and lower your gaze, because it starts with looking. If you lower your gaze, then your heart will not be, the lust or the whim in your heart will not be inflamed. So there's a connection between lowering your gaze and chasing your privates, because as I mentioned, it is an introduction and it is a mean for the shaitan to lead you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, referring to the shaitan, وَلَا تَتَّبِعُ خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ, do not follow the footsteps of the shaitan. Shaitan will never come to you and just tell you, go ahead and commit adultery. He will just tell you, look, like some people say, why is it haram to look, Shaykh? Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the eyes? Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the eyes? I said, the one who gave you the eyes, he told you what to do with them. You manufacture a car, you do something, and when you put it on reverse, the car is supposed to go reverse, not forward, because this is how it's manufactured. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you the eyes and he told you, I want you to enjoy those eyes, but I want you to not look at this and this and this. Now, if you really want to be blessed with those eyes, is this how you thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You just look at everything and you say, Allah gave me the eyes. The same one who gave you the eyes told you how to use them. The same one who gave you the wealth told you how to use it. The same one who gave you the health told you how to use it. So part of your appreciation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to use those limbs and those senses for what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created you. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told the companions, "Istahyu min Allah haqq al-hayat," he commanded the companions and he said, "Be," haya, again, there is no equivalent word in English for that. It's not shyness, but let's say it like that. Haya, shyness. He said, "Be shy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the real shyness." Look what they said. Ya Rasulullah, kulluna yastahyi min Allah haqq al-haya. They said, all of us, we shy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, laysa hadha. I'm not talking about the shyness that we all know. I'm talking about haya. An tahfaz al-qalb, an tahfaz al-ra's, wama hawa. Aw wama wa'a, wal-qalb, wama hawa. To safeguard your head and what it contains. What does your head contain? Ears, eyes, tongue. How do you make hifz for that? You use it for its purpose. and you don't use it for what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited you. And the same thing with the stomach or the inside of you, the food that comes, the thoughts that are in your heart, they're all inside your body. وَالْبَطْنَ وَمَا حَوَى, all of those are included, protect them. So what I'm trying to get is, whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you, thank Him by using it for the right purpose, not for the things that He has prohibited you from using. طيب يقول ابن القيم رحمه الله, because looking is a mean for committing the zina, and all the disasters, they start by looking, he was asked, ما تقول السادة العلماء في رجل نظر إلى امرأة نظرة فعلق حبها أو فعلق حبها فعلق حبها حبها بقلبه. What do you say about a man looked at a woman? Ibn al-Qayyim was asked, what do you say, my respected scholar, for a man looked at a woman, then he fell for her love from the first look. What do you say if اشتد عليه الأمر فقالت له نفسه هذا كل من أول نظرة فلو أعدت النظر إليها لرأيتها لذهب ما في نفسك. So his heart said to him, this all happened to you because you looked at her once, but if you look at her again, then you satisfy what you need and all the problems go away. What do you say about that? They asked Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, can that happen? Or why shouldn't, like, you look at a woman, you like her hair, the first look, so your heart says, take another look at her hair. They're saying, if I take another look at her hair, then khalas, I saw her hair and it's over, case closed. Now I don't have the problem in my heart. Look what Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah said, and I conclude with that inshallah. يقول حرام for 10 reasons. We like one, but Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, mashallah. يقول إن الله سبحانه وتعالى أمر بغض البصر ولم يجعل شفاء القلب فيما حرم. Number one, Allah commanded you to not look, and He will not make the healing in the disease of looking by looking. You want to save your heart from the love that you are having for her from the first look by looking again. Looking again is haram. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never make you relax by doing haram again. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم سئل عن نظر الفجأة والفجاءة فأمر بمداواته بصرف البصر لا بتكرر النظر. When the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was asked, O Prophet of Allah, we know it's haram to look, but what about when you all of a sudden you see a woman? Did we fall in haram? He said, no, turn your head. So the cure for looking without intention is to not look, not to repeat the look. That's another reason. صرح صلى الله عليه وسلم بأن الأولى لك وليس الثانية. The first look is a free look, not the second one. Some people misunderstand that and they go, wow, first look is free. One person takes a look and he's walking with his friend, and his friend did see, and he said, man, did you see her? Now his friend would go, wait a minute, I get a free one, don't I? No, you don't get a free one. Your friend is a lucky one who got the free one, but not you, because nadhar al-faj'a, all of a sudden you saw her. You're not planning on see her. Just she showed up there. You turn your head. So make sure that you don't take advantage of that, because it's against you if you plan it. Number four. الظاهر قوة الأمر بالنظرة الثانية لا تناقصة والتجربة شاهد. The proof is very clear that the second look makes your love for her increase, not decrease. And reality is a proof to that. رُبَّمَا رَأَى مَا هُوَ فَوْقَ الَّذِي فِي نَفْسِهِ. When he takes a second look at her hair, he might see something else more than the hair. And now he needs a third one to solve the problem he has. And when he takes the third one, he's going to see something else, and as they say, one thing leads to another. إبليس عنده قصده للنظرة الثانية يقوم في ركائبه فيزين له ما ليس بحسن لتتم البلية. إبليس is there. Shaitan is there. When he wants you to take the second look, he knows what to do. He's going to ride on that woman and on that person and make him look at other things and beautify other things that is not really beautiful, but he makes it beautiful for him, so he would do it or look for it. Number 7, أن لا يعان على بلية إذا اعترض أو إذا أعرض عن امتثال أوامر الله سبحانه وتعالى. أنه لا يعان على بليته. If you look again and you know it's haram, do you expect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help you solve your problem by committing haram? No way. And number 8, النظرة الأولى سهم من سهام إبليس الثانية أشد سم من الأولى فكيف يتداوى من السم بالسم. The first look is poisoned. It's an arrow from the arrows of the shaitan that is poisoned. So you want to take another arrow, another poisoned arrow, to treat your first poisoned arrow? How can you treat yourself poison with poison? You need antidote, which is not looking. Number 9, يريد من النظرة الثانية أن يتبين حال المنظور إليه. Your intention from the second look is to get the reality of that thing that you're looking at, so you satisfy your heart. يقول فإن لم يكن مرضا تركه. If it is not, if it's not bad, he would leave it if he satisfied. فإذا يكون تركه لأنه لا يلائم غرضه لله سبحانه وتعالى. So the second look you take it, if it fulfills your need, then you won't look again. So the reason you refrain from looking is to satisfy yourself, not to satisfy Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he is saying, فَأَيْنَ مُعَامَلَةِ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى بِتَرْكِ الْمَحْبُوبِ لِأَجْلِهِ. So how do you deal with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? By leaving the real good things for yourself for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here, you left it for what? For your sake, not for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because you satisfied yourself. This is like someone drinks a little bit and he says, I want to drink again to satisfy myself. But he takes the second drink and it doesn't taste good. So he goes, I don't want to drink anymore. So you left it because of what? Because you satisfied yourself, not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And finally, يقول, he gave you a little story here. He said, your example is like a person who rode a horse and then مالت به إلى طريق ضيق لا ينفد. The horse went into a road or an alley that has no end there. I mean, you cannot get out of it. It has a dead end. Very narrow, just as big as the horse. And there is a dead end there. Now, as soon as you get there, you can turn your horse and come back. If you get a little bit in there, you can still turn your horse and come back. But if you get deep in there, what are you going to get? How are you going to get your horse out of there? Anyone can suggest? Now? How are you going to pull him out? Here? How, the horse doesn't back up. It's a long way. Anyone can suggest? But you cannot turn.
Leave the horse on your back.
Pull him from his tail. That's the only hope that you have. How hard is it to pull the horse a long way with his tail to come out? You want him to back up. He may back up, but you have to keep pulling. So he gave an example like this. When you look, now you look, you have some attachment. You take a second look, more attachment, more attachment, more attachment, more attachment. Now we're not talking more attachment just by looking. You looked and you looked again, then you talked, then you got a phone number, then you went for coffee, like some people. I'm going with my sister because we're going to know one another because I want to marry her. I don't know how people fall for that. Or even sisters. I don't know how sisters believe that. A man is going alone with a woman because he wants to marry her. Alone, drinking coffee. I know that people are horrible. I mean, especially men. But how can a sister accept ruining her reputation with something like that? Especially the disasters that you see. People look and they meet and everything, and then nothing happens, and then they go and talk everything that happened. Positive and negative, and usually the negative is more than the positive. How can you? So you get yourself so close to committing zina, it's almost impossible to go back. Like the horse going into that road, and almost impossible to pull him out of it. That's what happens when you look, and when you take the second look and the third look, as Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah explained that to us. Inshallah, next time we will go over that ayah because it needs more explanation. كل المؤمنين يغضوا من أبصارهم ويحفظوا فروجهم ذلك أزكى لهم. We will go deep into the topic. We really need to explain this topic in depth because it is a problem that we all facing. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from letting our sight or our vision roam without any control, and make us from those who submit to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger. Inshallah, I will take some question. I will question a couple here and then we conclude, inshallah. Some people I know say that the key to have the one look, and they keep their eye on the person for a while. This is a good one. Then don't look again, like staring. What do you say about that? Staring is worse than looking, and it's scary too, even for men. When a man stares at you, it's scary. Look at this. When Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked about the sudden look, he did not say continue looking until you're satisfied and then turn. Immediately turn your head. نَظْرَةِ الْفُجَاءَ اصْرِفْ نَظَرَكَ. Turn your head immediately. You saw it, turn it. We will get some of those more ahadith, inshallah, where Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam actually held a companion and twisted his head. He was looking at a young girl. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw him and he twisted his head. Immediately, he didn't say, okay, just keep looking for a while and then turn your head. What's the point of turning your head? Of staring. What are you staring? You're getting multiple looks at the same time, and you're supposed to take one. Staring is going to definitely lead you to more disaster because you're going to see so many things that you like. Now you turn your head to cure your heart. You want to go back and look at everything that you have looked. Definitely, it is haram to stare one look, and it's a sudden look, and the cure to that is to turn away. I thought men couldn't show their chest. Couldn't. Yes, they could. So they can show their chest, just not the navel. True. How should one conduct business, like having a corner store with the opposite sex from both the men and women view? Well, I would not make a corner store with a woman selling and cashing, like a cashier. I mean, it is Unless a woman is really needing the money and having to work, she should not seek that, because temptation is everywhere. And when you are an owner of a store, it is part of the business to smile. The smile of a woman is worse than an arrow for a man. You have to smile, you have to joke, you have to welcome, you have to talk, you have to debate, price, less, more, good, not good, thank you. And when you give an inch to a man, he takes a mile. I'm not saying that women don't take miles, they do too. But men, quickly they take the mile, right away. And there is no such a relationship between man and woman as pure. Even those were questioned to non-Muslim. Do you think that a male can hold a relationship, a pure relationship, friend relationship with a woman? The majority was no. Impossible for a man to look at a woman, stare at a woman, and not to think about sex. Yes, I'm not saying that you cannot talk with women, period. I mean, just like an encounter, assalamu alaikum, or something like that, get something, buy, and just go. I'm talking with limited time, not to prolong the time, not to sit and talk and joke and ask about the family and the kids and all of that. This is haram, because you really make yourself the judge. You be the judge. You know what's in your heart, and you know what does, and the shaitan plays a big role in that. So I would not recommend any of that. So if you happen to have that kind of business and you are in need for it, then you definitely need to know the guidelines for how to interact with the opposite sex. No joking, no kidding, no smiling and laughter and all of those things. This is haram, because it is a lot more devastating than a simple look. Final question. Why aren't women allowed to recite the Quran in front of men? Well, the word "in front of men" is a disaster by itself. Now, you could have said, why women aren't allowed to recite Quran where men can hear them. That might be a little bit understanding. The same problem, because when a man looking at a woman reciting Quran, he's not really enjoying the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's enjoying more than likely her looks and her voice. Now, if the woman is not too old and she can recite where men can hear her and not recite in a and if her voice happened to be attractive, she can just change the tone, it is a little bit acceptable. But to recite in front of men, this is hasn't been done before, and it is not fruitful at all. When men look, there is no such a thing as a pure look. There isn't, unless it is just like I said, a quick look, a quick transaction, a quick talk, salamu alaikum, is so and so at home, salamu alaikum, and you leave. But once you extend the time, the pure look slowly changes to bad intentions. Yes, the person is not going to look horrible, he's not going to look like he's going to just jump on the woman, but inside the heart, it's all there. Allah knows more than me and you. That's why He told us a simple look, lower it. And we will get to more explanation about lowering your gaze, because some people may think that men has to walk blindfolded. This is not what we mean. We will get that, inshallah. The topic is a little bit deep. As far as men, just between the navel and the knee is the prohibited. But at the same time, even though the chest is okay, women, that doesn't mean the chest is not a turn on for a woman. It is for many, but it is not awra. Isn't the hand a turn on for men? Yes, it is. The hand of a woman. But is it not awra? So how do you solve that problem? When you're looking at something that is allowed to look at, you don't prolong it. When it comes to women, I'm looking at men just normal. Now, when you start to feel that your heart is changing, stop and turn your head and move on. If you're not looking at the hour, you can just normal admit. For men, it is more dangerous. For women, this is what you do. This is like Aisha radiallahu anha looking at the companions or the Ahbash playing in the masjid. She was looking. Now, this is acceptable. You can watch a basketball game, for instance, for men, a woman. But when you find yourself started to focus on a person and how he looks and he started to enter your heart, it's time for you to quit that and not to watch that. But for men, it's always horrible, especially these days. I mean, you don't see women playing or doing anything with hijab on or with khimar. You just watch the basketball with a woman covered from head to toe. I mean, you don't see that. So most of those things are very well exposed, and there are so many attractive things that you can see. So stay away from that. طيب, I'll conclude inshallah. Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk, wa jazakum Allahu khayran, wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.